Well, we're here at the Meat Animal Research Center near Clay Center, Nebraska today for a beef research update. And we're going to talk with Dr. Tommy Wheeler, who is a research leader in the Meat Safety and Quality Research Unit. Dr. Wheeler, let's talk about some of the projects you're working on. And today you talked about work you're doing with beef trim and E. coli, right? So talk about what's happening in that area. Now, when we talk about E. coli, and we still hear about it, but it seems like we hear about it less than we used to. Is that a correct statement?
I think that is correct. I think the beef processing industry has made a lot of progress in making sure they're putting out a safe product, and they've done a lot of development of their food safety systems that go on in their plants every day to make sure that they've really minimized the risk of having any kind of E. coli 157H7 contamination, the bacteria that we're most concerned about.
And I assume some of the work you've done here has contributed to those improvements.
Well, I think it has. There's a number of things that we've done over the years that industry has implemented, and some of that includes evaluating some of the antimicrobial interventions that are available on the market and helping industry make decisions about those, about which ones might work best in their processing situation. And so I think that's certainly contributed to some of their progress. The thing that we've worked on most recently to help them improve the safety of their product is in the trim testing programs that they all implement, the what they call test and hold. So when the beef trim is produced and collected in these big 2,000-pound combos, they test every one of those for E. coli 157H7, and they wait until they get that negative test back before that product gets released into commerce. And so one of the things that we've developed to help them with that process is an improved way of taking in the sample from that trim that they do the test on. So that really consists of a process or a method to collect the sample. As the trim combo is filled, we developed a device that goes at the end of the conveyor line that the trim comes down as it empties into the combo bin that allows them to collect a sample of essentially all of the trim as it empties into the combo to do the test on, compared to their current methods that they would use where they take a knife and trim off 60 pieces off the top of five different combos and collect that together. You get about a little less than a pound of meat that they would normally do their test on. So it's really about collecting a sample to do the pathogen test on that's more representative of the entire combo.
So that's the main advantage? I mean, is that you're just testing more of the product?
So that's the main reason for going to that kind of a system, is to make the sample more representative, so that if there does happen to be contamination, you're more likely to detect that and be able to pull that product out of the market. But there are some other advantages. It's going to be easier to implement, take less labor, be less costly, and there are some worker safety issues that it improves upon as well. So there's some side benefits in addition to hopefully be helping them make a safer product.
We had discussion this morning of antimicrobial resistance too, and of course that's a big topic out there. I guess from your standpoint, you know, it sounds like we've got some good research going that is going to really help the industry.
Well, I think one of the critical issues at the moment is all the blame that the livestock production industries get relative to use of antibiotics and how that might be contributing to antibiotic resistant infections that people might end up with. And so a lot of those assumptions are not based on a lot of data, and one of the things that we've been trying to do over the last few years is collect some of that data so that there is some science and some facts behind what might be going on relative to livestock's and beef production's contribution to that issue. And so we've done a lot of comparisons of not only animals, but also retail product that are produced conventionally where antibiotics are used if an animal gets sick, versus products that are marketed where animals have never been given any kind of antibiotics. And those studies really show that there's not much difference between the end of those production systems, whether antibiotics were used or not, relative to the amount of antibiotic resistance might be present. And so It's really led us to some other questions about what the source of that resistance might be, and we know historically that a lot of our antibiotics come from soil bacteria, and so there are a lot of bacteria and resistance already in the soil. And one of the things that we've learned through trying to better understand that situation is that just the manure from livestock production, as it interacts with the soil and those bacteria, provides nutrients to the bacteria that are already there that might be resistant to antimicrobials. And so that fact that there's nutrients there alone, not necessarily animals treated with antibiotics to cause selective pressure, but the nutrients alone will grow up those populations that are naturally present there and make it look like there's an increase in, make an increase in resistant bacteria. But it's not because the antibiotic was used, it's because the bacteria that make those antibiotics were allowed to grow because of the nutrients were there. So there's some issues like that where you really have to dig down into what's really going on, and some of these topics get treated superficially and assumptions are made and fingers get pointed that really aren't legitimate, and we need to provide more of that kind of data to counter those arguments.